Welcome to Hope for Today, a weekly Bible teaching program that will bring you hope for every day. Thanks so much for joining us today. We are honored to be with you and are looking forward to studying God's Word together. Today's lesson is our last lesson from 2 Corinthians, so we will be looking at chapter 13. If there is any teaching from 2 Corinthians you missed or would like to hear again, no problem. We would love to help you with it. Or you can find it online at heraldsofhope.org. We do our best to keep our teaching there and accessible. Today, our title is in the form of a question, and the question is, are you in the faith? Let's go with Pastor J. Mark to chapter 13 as we finish our study in 2 Corinthians.
Medical care in many places around the world is a luxury. It's unaffordable to the common person, and in some places, it's almost non-existent. We're told by the World Health Organization that access to medical care is a human right. I don't necessarily agree with that statement, but that's easy for me to say because I live in a part of the world with easy access to health care. I'm now in my sixth decade of life, and I'm constantly told that I should have this test or that screening. Now, I do value my health, and so I was recently screened for the risk of a stroke and heart disease and some other things. I don't have a family history of those, but I thought it might be prudent to get checked out. But you know, spiritual health is far more significant than physical health. Our physical lives are bound by time. Our spirits are eternal. Did you know that just as there are tests for physical health, there are tests you can take to assess your spiritual health? In this study, we will delve into these tests from the final chapter of Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, encouraging you to engage in self-reflection. The church at Corinth had spiritual ailments, and Paul closes this second letter by asking them a question that is just as applicable to you and me today as it was then. The question is, are you in the faith? Paul shows us how to find the answer to that question in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. This will be the third time I am coming to you. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word will be established. I have told you before, and foretell as if I were present the second time, and now being absent, I write to those who have sinned before, and to all the rest, that if I come again, I will not spare. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, who is not weak toward you, but mighty in you. For though he was crucified in weakness, he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. Now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that you should do what is honorable, though we may seem disqualified. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak and you are strong. And this also we pray, that you may be made complete. Therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness, according to the authority which the Lord has given me for edification, and not for destruction. Finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. In the closing portion of this letter, Paul proposes several tests you and I can use to prove whether or not we are in the faith. The first test we can use is examine the source of your power. I want you to notice with me two phrases in verses 1 through 5 in this first section. Those phrases are, mighty in you, and the second one is, by the power of God. The phrase, by the power of God, is mentioned twice. First, Christ lives by the power of God. That is, even though from the human viewpoint his death seemed an obvious indication of weakness, he was resurrected by the life-giving power of God. And because of that, you and I, as Christ followers, live with him by the power of Christ toward us. Paul called his readers to examine themselves and determine whether they were still in the faith. What is the faith? Well, Paul is referring specifically to biblical faith, a belief in Jesus Christ. It's not faith in myself or in a creed or a system, but belief and trust in a person. When you and I, by faith, accept the sacrifice of Jesus as the only sufficient payment for our sins, we become partakers of that same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Our sins are forgiven, and we become new creations in Christ. When Paul calls us believers to test ourselves, it implies a deliberate attempt to measure our spiritual condition. Proving is the result that comes out of testing. If Jesus Christ is mighty in you, as Paul says, we will pass the test. There are only two sources of power in the world, God and Satan. Satan exercises his power in the hearts of those who are unsaved, and their focus is on themselves, their pleasure, and their benefit. It doesn't take any power to live like that. You just follow your natural inclinations. God exercises his power in the hearts of those who have trusted him for their salvation. Their focus is on bringing glory to him by loving and serving others. They submit to his will, and they allow his power to flow through them to other people. Testing the source of power in your life will help you answer the question, are you in the faith? The next test we can use to prove whether or not we are in the faith is examine the motivation for your choices. How do you respond if someone makes an offensive comment about you? If you react by the power of God, you will forgive them and try to do them good. In this context, Paul is asking them to test the motives for their actions, not so he would look good, but so that they would learn to do what is right. He warned them that when he came to Corinth the next time, if it was needed, he would exercise discipline, even severe discipline. Now, he didn't want to do that. Paul would much rather be seen as weak, so the Corinthians would be strong in doing what was right. He reassured them that any discipline he would bring would be for their improvement and not for their destruction. I believe many church leaders today could learn from Paul's example. So while Paul was dealing with their motives, there was another aspect to this. Motivation gives evidence of maturity or the lack of it to some degree. And Paul wanted the Corinthian believers to become mature in their faith. This is a common theme throughout this letter. Mature believers don't need the threat of discipline hanging over them to make the right choices. They do right because they know it's right. The power of the Holy Spirit in them guides their right choices. When was the last time you deliberately evaluated your spiritual condition? Do your life choices prove that you are living under the control of the Holy Spirit? Those lifestyle choices do not save you. Let's be clear about that. But they indicate whether you are genuinely in the faith. As you examine the motivation for your choices in life, are you in the faith? And then the final test to prove whether or not we are in the faith is examine the level of your love. Paul had written a long letter to the Corinthians, and he had addressed many issues. Now he's coming to the end of that letter. In closing, he gives them several ways to test the level of their love for God and for each other. First, he writes, be perfected. What an admonition for such a conflicted congregation. And the grammar indicates continuous action. I understand that ancient physicians used this word to speak of a joint being put back into its proper place after it was dislocated. As you might know, a dislocated joint is painful. It causes weakness, and we can't perform at the level we should. Dislocations in relationships have the same effect. They cause pain and the lack of function. And then he said, take courage. This is the same word that is used often in the New Testament to describe the Holy Spirit as the Comforter. Paul encourages the Corinthians to receive admonition that will comfort them. It would call them to put their arm around their brother or sister in mutual love and respect, and then accept the same love in return. He says, "Be of one mind and live in peace." The church in Corinth was notorious for its dissension and conflict, for its schism, for its factions. Don't be the person who's known to have a quick temper. You know, there are many people today who loudly and publicly proclaim their love for God, but the evidence of their love for their brothers and sisters in Christ is almost non-existent. In fact, some even state openly that they have no need for the local church. But call to mind the words of the Apostle John. If someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Paul closes his instruction by urging them to demonstrate that love to their brothers and sisters in a tangible way, a kiss of love. Historically, it was practiced at the celebration of the Eucharist, or what many of us call today communion. And there are a minority of churches that still practice the kiss. When did you last evaluate your love for your brothers and sisters? Think of your most recent interactions with those in your local fellowship. How did you respond to their questions, their opinions, their choices? Were you willing to truly hear what they were saying? Or were you more concerned about your own agenda? Were you willing to see their ideas preferred over yours? Were you tender-hearted, courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this? These are all ways to test the level of your love for the brotherhood, and they are vital in determining whether or not you are still in the faith. The final verse of 2 Corinthians contains the most complete benediction in all of Paul's letters. Here he invokes the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit upon each of them and upon the whole group. I encourage you to meditate on that benediction and see how these three expressions of God's person align with the three tests that we have examined in this teaching. Are you in the faith? Under the guidance of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Scripture, these three tests will enable you to discern the answer to that all-important question.
Thanks, J. Mark, for sharing these three tests with us. This self-examination is a good thing for us to do. But before you can do it, there is a level of maturity that is needed. What causes you to respond this way or that way? What's the reason for this behavior? What is really motivating me? This may take time and effort to think through. And this is not the only place in Scripture we are given this instruction. In 1 Corinthians 11, where Paul is explaining the Lord's Supper, he tells us we ought to examine ourselves before we eat the bread or drink the cup. Obviously, the goal as we examine ourselves is to see if we are in the faith. Are we walking with Jesus as we should? With God's help, ask those questions. Think about the advice J. Mark gave, and Lord willing, you will become more like Jesus. As I mentioned earlier, this is our last lesson from 2 Corinthians. If you missed any teaching or want to hear it again, let us know. An easy way to reach out to us is through our website, heraldsofhope.org. There, you can find all the lessons from 2 Corinthians, or you could send us an email at hope@heraldsofhope.org. And you also have the option of writing to us. Our address is Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, PA 15533. Blessings as you serve our God right where He placed you. And Lord willing, we will be together again next week as we continue studying God's Word together.